Hello, hello, Health and Whole Marriages family.
Hello, family. Good evening.
Good morning, good day, whatever hello, time hello, you have chosen yes. to Hang allow us to yes, to speak with you, to share with you what's on our hearts, our minds. We are Seth and Damia Rolfe, and if it is your first time here, welcome, welcome, welcome. If not, welcome, 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 because we are so glad to have you at any given point in time.
Yes.
And we appreciate you for allowing us to be on the journey of your life as well as your marriage. And thank you for joining ours at this time as well. Health and Whole Marriage Conferences Incorporated is who we are. And we just want to share with you guys on this particular platform based off of what we've been given. So if you joined us last week, you'll hear a little bit more. Otherwise, welcome, as I said again, so that you can hear what we have to share for today. But before we begin in the way of prayer so that we will be sure that what we say will not only edify our marriage, but yours as well.
Father God, we thank you for another time, another opportunity to come before your people. God, we pray that you will bless the words that will be said tonight, God. Your words, not ours, oh God. Speak through your servants that people that will listen will be blessed for your glory, not for Seth and Damian, oh God. But we pray that you will get the glory and the honor and the praise. We welcome you in tonight, and we're excited about what you will do in and through us. It's in Jesus' name. Thank God, amen.
Amen. So before I even say what we're getting into, I want to say happy fall, y'all. That's our theme, right? That's
happy
going on
fall.
Just in general, but also in our house in particular. It tickles our children to say it because they stole it, so they think, from their dad. And they've just been running around saying happy fall, y'all. So fall, of course, harvest, autumn, all of that time, reaping, sowing, consider all of that as it relates to marriage. And check us out on our social media platforms as well, because we do posts related to things like this also that we hope will be encouraging to your marriage as well. The goal is to have a marriage, a healthy and whole marriage beyond the aisle, and the type of marriage that God intended you to have. Now, last week we spoke on safety, and Seth brought up about 4 points relevant to safety. Well, this week is safety part two. If you listened to us last week, I said, you know, we're going to do a safety part two and more so speak about how safety can be an aphrodisiac. It may sound a little interesting, but if y'all will just go with us for a moment, we hope to enlighten you and encourage you as we always pray. So Seth, can you share with us what the four areas were last week?
Yes. So we talked specifically about trust, how that leads in a direction of leadership. If you are leading in your home effectively and showing support for your wife, then she becomes your priority. And then lastly, we talked about support. It is so important that you support her goals and dreams. I believe as a husband that if you are showing trust, leadership, priority, and support, those actions will then yield a greater intimacy in your relationship.
Right. And so he was just saying ultimately the safety aspect as well. And as we do with every conversation, you know, we just jump in and chime in whenever we are inspired to do so. And last week he pretty much led, and I had, I think, very few areas where I just chimed in, but I think we're going to flip the coin this week and use those particular four areas, like priority, making your wife the priority.
Yes.
Those things, and getting you guys to see how providing safety and engulfing those four principles, if you will, that he touched on, or those particular areas, how they can be considered an aphrodisiac. If you have all of those in alignment, right, that's where a wife is going to feel safe. That's where she's going to feel comfort and covered. Before I get more in depth with that, aphrodisiac, you've heard the word before. A lot of people have heard the word or said it. Simply put, an aphrodisiac is a thing that causes excitement or stimulates a sexual desire. It could be pretty much anything, but we often hear it as it relates to sexual desire. We've heard of aphrodisiacs being oysters and chocolate and things of that nature, but it's not necessarily and doesn't have to be something tangible or only something tangible. Mm-hmm. And that's where safety comes in. When a wife feels safe, she feels security, she feels comfortable, and she feels free. When she feels that safety, that security, that comfort, she then starts to feel liberated to be and give of herself in every aspect. Emotionally, if she's being taken care of emotionally, spiritually, mentally, she's going to be a little more free in those areas because she's going to trust that where she is, what she says, how she's sharing in those areas are safe with you. And that in turn means I can even be free sexually. I can be free more intimately because now I know that I am not going to risk my vulnerability in this way because he's made me feel secure in every other way. This is beneficial definitely for any husband because if he desires initiation or her to start initiating, she's pretty much guaranteed or more apt to be the initiator where she may have once just waited on you to do it and you were the one pursuing. I will stop there for now.
Yeah, I agree. When you focus, and I believe that this has a lot to do with the husband focusing on the wife, and that's where safety is yield from the focus of the wife and making her top priority in and throughout your relationship. It's important for me to even focus on the spiritual aspect of it. Again, I talked a little bit about this last week. And if I'm aligning with God the right way, that means I can care for you in the right way. Mm-hmm. And I know from an intimacy standpoint, I want you to be connected with me. And I know that it requires for you to feel safe emotionally, physically, mentally, all of those things. And if that's what needs to happen in order for my wife to be more of an initiator or to feel safe, I believe that's a good thing for a relationship.
Exactly.
And I believe when we're sharing in a free way, that there is safety, there's comfort, that God is being praised in that relationship because that relationship then is being seen as this healthy and whole couple. Mm-hmm. They're happy, they're joyous, their family life is good. When they go out together, they're jubilant. And the husband is satisfied with just his wife being satisfied. To me, that part of it is very important. So I agree.
Right. So speaking of satisfaction, right, God wants... It's so unfortunate that married couples see, if you will, it's like they see, or a lot of married couples I talk to is as if they see married sex
as boring,
as not just boring, but this is where you retire all the fun.
That's boring,
right? Right. Like, so not hey, I did all I wanted to do, I was as freaky or spontaneous and adventurous as I wanted to be before I got married. And your spouse is not getting any of that. It's such a disadvantage, not just to your spouse, but to yourself as well, because you're missing out on all that you were supposed to truly be enjoying in your marriage. And truth be told, it can be much more beneficial. It can be much more satisfying for you if you will share that and share beyond that in that way in your marriage, because that's who it was meant for. And because marriage and sex is of God, mm-hmm. because he blessed it, because he honored it, you can't even fathom, I'm sure, like where your sex life can go, because you never really experienced the true beauty of it and what it was meant to be.
Yeah.
Outside of marriage, because he wasn't blessing that. But imagine if he blessed your sex life married, okay? Not only that, I mean, I'm starting to think a whole lot of other things as well. When you were talking about satisfaction, when your wife is feeling like, or a wife is feeling like, she's not covered in those ways, she's not feeling safe in those areas, and then you want to be satisfied, it's going to feel like a chore for her. She's not going to be as comfortable and as free as you could actually be able to enjoy from her. Yeah. Because it's just for you. You're only concerned about what you can get from this situation. You're only concerned about what you can get from this marriage, because you're not focused on ensuring that my needs are met outside of bed, but you want to make sure that your needs are met inside of bed. Trust me, she will be the pursuer and even creative, adventurous, if you will allow her to feel safe in the areas where she needs to feel safe outside of bed. You look like you're about to say something, or can I? Okay. As I was stating, because she feels safe emotionally, mentally, spiritually, she'll feel safe enough to go to places and explore and be more creative in the bed, or even, you know, more than that, based on some things that y'all were probably discussed before and she was reluctant about. A lot of times we hear couples say, you know, they're not having enough sex, maybe just once or twice a week or a couple times a month. I can pretty much guarantee you, if these I's are dotted and T's are crossed in these areas, you probably can't remember how many times y'all are having sex in a month, in a week, because those areas are being taken care of. She will find ways in her busy life of being, if she's not just a wife and being a mom and an employee or an employer or whatever as well, she's going to make time to ensure that you guys are being taken care of in this area. It's during these times that I believe Hebrews 13:4, which says marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled, is the most prevalent statement, right? Is the most appropriate scripture. Because once she feels this freedom, once you all are connecting in those areas, anything that y'all are doing in the bed, God's like, go for it. Because y'all are on the same page. Y'all are on one accord about everything that needs to take place in this union, in your kingdom, that's supposed to be exemplifying his kingdom. He has no problems with it, because he's like, y'all are doing everything right. Y'all are doing what you're supposed to be doing. Go for what you know. You know, we're so concerned about, and people are often, in a conference, what are we able to do? What should we not do? I mean, what does this look like? He could care less what you do, as long as you're not being sinful by bringing other people into your marriage, by being selfish. Other people can include things that you all have clarified. And for a lot of people, that could also include porn, because you're entering visions of other things into your marriage, into your sex, your bed. Ultimately, if you're seeking God, he's going to bless it.
Yeah.
If you're praying, that's the next thing I wanted to get into. But I will stop there. Hebrews 13:4 is a scripture that we'd like to hang our hats on, but we're not fully invested in delving into what that means if we're not dotting the I's and crossing the T's of safety first.
Yeah, I totally get what you're saying, especially when it comes to just the bed being undefiled. I believe where I have made the mistake, selfishness has gotten in the way of something that I've wanted. And it's important that we talk about what's going on in our lives sexually. I think that's become taboo, especially mm-hmm. in the Christian community.
Mm-hmm.
And then we take that quietness, if you will, into our relationship and into our marriage. And we don't talk about what pleases us or what's not working sexually.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not talking about those things, I believe that the adversary is standing at the door. Not believe. The adversary is waiting on you to not be satisfied with something in your bed. And with that being the case, the adversary then will show you something, whether that's eyes and or hear something out of your ears. And then that becomes a wedge in your relationship. And once that wedge begins to form, you stop talking about it, you stop connecting emotionally, and then it becomes, as Damien stated, as a chore. And we're talking about, and we've heard it said on social media, you know, you should leave your, you shouldn't let your husband or your man leave the house, horny or whatever the case. The husband also must have self-control, and the husband must also exercise the spiritual aspect of not only the bed being undefiled, but treating your wife as your own body and sacrificing whatever it needs to be sacrificed, yourself, whether that's masturbation, whatever it is that's coming in between you and your spouse, and having a quality sexual encounter, whatever that is, you need to stop in order to flourish in your relationship. I believe that God not only intended for us to be happy sexually, but I also believe that He felt that marriage was the place He wanted us to explore sex because of the mind-blowing experiences that we should be having in our bedroom and in our sexual encounters. And if that's the case, that's why He said, let's refrain from that until you get to that place. I can think of no other reason. I can think back on Christmas morning and those type of things of where we didn't want the children to see something. We had them go to bed early, and then when they wake up, they will be totally surprised by the gift that they received, although they had an idea of what that gift could be. But when they open it, to see their face, the joy, the exuberant thought process that went through their entire body as they were tearing that piece of the paper apart. I believe if we go into our relationship with that anticipation, and I'm not talking about just when you get married, because now for us, it's been over 15 years. I'm talking about, I pray over our sexual encounters every time we have one, because it's important to me that I am putting my wife first. But I believe the necessary aspect of it, that God saved that moment so we can be as free as we wanted to be without having past thoughts or past memories or past encounters that will detract from the sanctity of marriage.
I totally agree. Now, let me give a disclaimer or back up a little bit, because I did want to talk about communication and prayer. Yes. And I'm glad you brought that in. Yeah. But in our saying, and in your saying, you know, or Seth's talking about the fact that he prays regarding our sexual encounters, and I do as well. But that wasn't always the case. So let me just be clear, right? That nobody needs to believe that everybody or anyone in marriage has it all together. We didn't always do that before. We dealt with, okay, he was, you know, thinking he needed sex a certain amount of times a day or a week or whatever, and that I wasn't really as interested, or he was tired of being the initiator or whatever. The same things most marriages deal with a lot of times. The truth of the matter is, at some point, we realize, why not pray about our sex life? Why not? God honors it. And if our coming together and discussing it is not going well, why not go back to the person who created it? That's why not go back to the person who decided we could not only do this, but enjoy this? And not just that, but multiply from it, right? So, Lord, whenever, however y'all speak to him, just help me. If that's all you can say, help us enjoy this. Help us to be, you know, this to be a mind-blowing experience. And as Seth said, if you focus on the other person, that means a whole lot more as well, because God's going to honor the fact that you're not being selfish. That thought process and that prayer is for the benefit of the marriage, not your personal benefit, right? So my next point was actually going to be, you know, prayer being an aphrodisiac as well, right? Yeah. So prayer is a form of communication. A lot of people muck it up, make it all murky about, oh my gosh, it has to be all of these scriptural these type of words that are like...
I think, yeah, so broad. But I think when we talk about sex life, the general prayer can be, Lord, help us to enjoy this moment.
That's what I'm...
And so just make it simple. Not trying to be so complex.
Period.
Or hear something that you heard in church or something like that. Just be, Lord, here I am.
Right. So what I was going to actually say was, without trying to sound a certain way, you can be as plain as Seth was just saying, but communication, prayer is communication. Prayer is a conversation with God, just talking to him. But don't forget, in prayer or in conversations, right, there are two people communicating. One person is speaking, the other person's listening, and vice versa. So don't forget that part. And the same goes for when you come to praying about your sex life, talking to God about your sex life, right? Sometimes he will give you insight on certain things that may or may not be all working, or, hey, you might need to, you know, talk to your spouse about this particular thing or this particular way or method. That way y'all can be on one accord to do better about getting where you guys want to go and getting better in your undefiled bedroom, right? And so praying... Not only praying being an aphrodisiac in the sense that God is going to bless it and, you know, give you the desires of your heart as it relates to ensuring that, oh, my focus is on making sure Seth is fully engaged and enjoys every moment of this encounter. But he's also, the prayer aspect that I'm speaking of is also in praying and covering one another. Sometimes when we just pray over each other, pray for each other, pray with one another, that can be an aphrodisiac that stimulates you to want to have sex with your spouse. Everything is open ground, right? Everything is open at that point when you're meeting one another in a safe place. And we're not just saying exclusively, you know, Seth spoke more last week from a male's perspective and I'm more from the wife's perspective, but I'm sure a man needs to feel similar safety and security to be able to be vulnerable in that way.
I think it's huge when you talk about safety and security. I don't think a lot of husbands will say, hey, I need to feel safe in this sexual encounter or the way that we go about it. But I believe that God did bless us with the thought of ego, right? And it's important that the husband feels as though he's doing what you enjoy. Right. And if you're not enjoying that, that needs to be talked about.
Right.
And so it could be whether, you know, a husband may need affirmation of, husband, you were wonderful tonight.
Right.
And if you're not the type to say that, maybe you should pray regarding that.
Right.
Of how can you encourage your husband to be more selfless, or how can you encourage him to be more focused on the moment instead of just coming to a climax? I think the important part, sometimes I've come to the point of in the prayer, I know how I feel. I could be in this point. Hopefully you all don't mind me saying I'm horny, right? I was horny in a particular moment, or I've been horny at moments, and I will pray. I'm like, Lord, is this the right time? And God may tell me no. I still have to be open to what God says. And when it comes to me as a no, that I deal with it internally, this sexual desire that I have. And if it's not the right time, it's not the right time. And that's okay. It took me a moment to get to this. I'm not saying this happens overnight, but getting to that moment of, okay, Lord, show me when it's the right time to approach Damia. And as God would speak to me, then I would try it at that time. I would do it at that time. I will say every time that I've gone about it that I prayed first. My wife has always been receptive to it.
Right.
And we've always had a mind-blowing experience. But when I went that extra step and said, God would say, okay, this is not the right time. I'm like, nope, I need this and I go for it anyway, that will be a time where it's just like, oh, that's it? Okay.
Or not only that, you may be rejected, right? Yeah, and so yeah, absolutely. Then the whole, you're deflated and your ego is messed
all
up.
All those things happen.
And everybody's disappointed.
Everybody,
because
man.
It's like, okay, what
you interrupted.
Yeah. Right. You interrupted something I really, you know, needed to accomplish for, you know, whatever. It can go left. That's the point
fast.
Of that, right? It can go left real fast, feel like a waste of time, all types
absolutely.
Of things, right? But the point of the prayer part.
Yeah.
Is that it ensures that spiritual security, right? And as you spoke about a husband's ego, wives, go ahead and pray. Lord, how can I give him the affirmation he needs? Or how can I find a way to encourage him in these moments while we're in the midst of it even, so that he can enjoy himself more as I'm enjoying myself? I want him to be secure in the... not just the intimacy, because we know intimacy, it encompasses more than just sex. But I want him to be secure in what we're doing in this bedroom. I want him to feel everything he needs to feel to that relates to the type of husband he is for me. You know, sometimes we're not always conveying what that person means and how they're... what good job they're doing or whatever, right? And so praying about that as well will be beneficial. So again, all of that's an aphrodisiac, and it goes towards the spiritual security. All of it goes to the security, the safety. I think I just have a couple more points, because this will not be long for you guys tonight. It's just the, you know, like I said, the part two. But we knew it was important to make sure you guys know that it's not just based on, okay, trust and all that. Because, of course, you know, once you hit those points, that security, that safety comes into play. But then it can become, once those things are in place, oh, I didn't know that this could lead to this.
I wanted to say one thing about that. When it say, once your wife feels safe, I believe that's a part of our relationship and marriage that I had to evolve to. Of saying, okay, Seth, you need to come outside of what you want and begin to really embrace what Damien needs. And when we're talking about scripture-wise, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church, and do whatever needs to be done. Well, Jesus did what we saw, what he did for the church. He died on the cross for the church. Whatever your wife needs in order for her to feel that safety, that moment of just, I can be free. And you know what I found out is that when I start to discover this in our relationship, Damien, I found out that you really wanted to be free too. Mm-hmm. But the part of it was, is that I did not allow you to express yourself because of the selfishness. Mm-hmm. Of what I wanted or how I wanted to lead us sexually or what I wanted to do. And you were like, okay, I'm cool, but that's not really what I want to do. Well, when I begin to fulfill those moments of safety and begin to understand the emotions, begin to understand the mental aspect of intimacy, then that's when I was like, hold up. She's trying to kill me. You know, this is good. Mm. And so I think those moments, that's so important for the husband to understand, is that you don't have to be so dominant in this area. You have to be prayerful in this area.
Right. Prayerful, 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 safety, safety, safety. If you're not satisfied, quote unquote, in your married sex life, you need to pray. And you need to stop being selfish. You need to pray and you need to stop being selfish. Let me make this last little point. Then I have a question for you to explore as we, I guess, move towards wrapping this up. Once you interfere with, since you spoke about trust, once you interfere with that trust, taint it, break it, for her, she's going to revert back. She's going to retreat into that shell that she once was in, where you're complaining about not having enough sex.
Agreed.
You're complaining about it not being this mind-blowing experience or whatever the case may be. It's a couple, right? It's the two of you working together towards something. And if as a team, you have a particular goal, this is Seth's particular goal, this is my particular goal, how can I help you accomplish your goal? How can he help me accomplish his goal? Well, Seth, I'm not feeling safe and secure in these particular areas. How can I help you feel that way, Damia? Okay, well, I don't feel like we're having sex enough. Okay, Seth, how can we accomplish this for you? And he tells me, I think we need to do it 3-4 times a week. Initially, I may say, oh, that seems like a little bit much, maybe because I'm a mom, maybe because I just feel like, hey, that's a little bit much. But then if I'm feeling safe, I may, instead of saying that, say, you know what, let me see, because that may be doable. She may be more apt to do that as opposed to saying, oh, no, 4 times a week. Oh, my goodness. Y'all, it's 24 hours in a day. You're awake at least about 16 of them, right? So it's possible. But that's where it comes into prioritizing. And as he already stated in his 4 points, right? Making someone feel, making your spouse feel as a priority. When that's done, you're going to ensure that your spouse feels as a priority and they're going to have their needs met. She's going to ensure that you are having your needs met as a priority for her because you've made her a priority in those other ways. Now, this question I'm going to pose is just out there because we say it all the time. I think I've already said it once in this particular session, and we hear it probably more than that. But more so, we've also heard it as a little phrase, an adage, men, husbands. Y'all may think we're getting a little, I guess, raunchy tonight, but you know, that's the beauty of marriage, right? There are no limits on that. So what I'm gonna say is, me and husbands say they want a freak in the bed. From a male's perspective, what exactly does that mean if only a wife is listening at this time?
For me, it means a wife that's willing to be open to whatever ideas, thoughts that come up. But I also believe that says that the husband has to have open communication with the wife regarding sexual encounters. I talked a little bit about this earlier. If you're not talking about sex, saying you wanted a freak in the bed and she doesn't know expectations.
Right. What does that mean?
What does that go to? So I believe there has to be open communication of just being open, ideas, positions, whatever that is. And I believe that when... I'm not trying to be super spiritual tonight, but what I will say, when you pray about this freak in the bed, the expectations of what you're wanting, where did those expectations come from? Are they things that you've seen, encounters that you had in college? What are you trying to put a freak in the bed in your mind to be? And I'm flipping that and saying, okay, Lord, I want my wife to be as open and receptive to me as I need her to be for my desires.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm praying that prayer, whatever comes out in those moments, I believe that they are God moments. I believe that those are moments that can blow your mind from a freaky perspective, whatever that is. But you have to allow yourself to give up the right of saying what is exactly how you see the freak. It's more of, okay, open communication. Let's talk about what you see, what I see. And then putting that together in prayer and understanding that God can blow our mind.
I'm trying to be clear. And I know you said you're not trying to be super spiritual. So I'm just trying to be clear and understanding. For the most part, though, over time and as you know, natural, if you will, and not super spiritual, as we've created that phrase to be, most of the time it's not focused on praying. It's about positions. It's about whatever I want and need you to do. So but from that perspective,
that part of it is based on selfishness.
Right, right.
And I believe that selfishness comes from either the prior past experiences or what you're watching. Are you watching porn? Are you watching a professional do something that you want your wife to do? Right. She may not be that flexible. So that's not something that can be freaky to her, because I can't do that physically without breaking my leg. That's what I'm talking about. Right. And I believe that's where the open communication comes from. Okay, so let's talk about what's comfortable for us. And then we're talking about safety. What is the safe word? If I feel as though, and I know we've talked about that and we had that safe word in our relationship, whatever, it's important to say, okay, if this is not working, I reserve the right to use the safe word. And that's what we establish. But I believe the moments of trying to create what is freaky can be oh so difficult.
Yeah. So I'm gonna jump in.
So hopefully that answered your question.
Kind of, but I'm gonna jump in and say this part. I like what you brought up about the past experiences, because that's pretty much the crux of the matter, right? A lot of times people are saying they want to freak in a bed because of something they've seen, something they've possibly experienced. From what I've heard, I've had a lot of male friends, single and beyond, prior to and even during marriage, and to even speak of a freak in a bed, it is usually based off of these ideals that have been conjured up as a result of past experiences, things that they've seen through porn or whatever. Now, if you really want to delve into that and explore that more, as Seth was kind of, you know, grazing over, truth of the matter is, you're then bringing in someone else into your bedroom, right? You want her to do it the way whoever did it before. That's not fair to your relationship. That's not fair to your spouse. You can say, hey, now I like this, that, and the other. But the unfortunate part is that your mentality is then going to still be going towards that other person. And so you need to pray to rid yourself of all of those things that can inhibit the freedom that your marriage can experience, that can inhibit the safety that your marriage can experience, so that you can be as adventurous and explore each other even more. So make sure that those things are taken care of mentally and spiritually and emotionally for you, that you're not bringing in those past experiences and then holding up her up to a standard, him as well, because I know wives that have had experiences and she does not even anticipate her husband meeting standards of her previous exploits, because she doesn't ask, she doesn't, hey, this is where she retired her sex life, right? But again, if you're praying to rid yourself of all of those previous experiences so that you can fully enjoy for the rest of your life sex the way that God intended it, have mind-blowing sex the way that it was meant to be, then you have to rid yourself of those experiences, those people that come with those experiences. Bringing in porn, those people you saw in the videos, those people you envision every time you're trying to get a particular position together with your spouse, it is not only dangerous, it is, as Seth mentioned before, it's that place where Satan is waiting. The enemy is waiting, because eventually, as you mentioned in an earlier part when we were talking about conversations and communication and prayer, when you stop talking, you're allowing death to take place. I think you've heard me say this before, life and death are in the power of the tongue. It's biblical. If you put your mouth in a positive way, use words in a positive way towards your sex life, towards your married sex life, towards your spouse, you will ensure life in that area. Amen. You will guarantee life in that area. If it's boring, if it seems dead for you, speak positive. not just speaking positively, speak to yourself positively, speak life into your sex life positively. Use affirmations. The next time we get together is going to be the bomb. I'm going to make sure that my husband experiences this, that, and the other. The next time we get together, Lord, help me to do this, that, and the other, to ensure that he feels this, that, and the other. Whatever the case may be, speak life into your sex life. Speak life into your experience and what you want to provide and ensure for your spouse. I had one last statement, unless you wanted to. So ultimately, from all of this, you guys have heard us, you know, beat the dead horse about feeling safe and being safe, having safety, being an aphrodisiac, prayer, providing the spiritual security, again, safety, and aphrodisiac. And then we are wrapping this up around the word of freak, or the phrase having a freak in the bed. You cannot have a freak in the bed if you do not provide the covering or the protection outside of the bed. It's just not going to happen the way that you think you deserve. It's just not. So make sure that you're providing inside and outside of the bedroom what needs to happen to ensure that you always have the mind-blowing, God-intended, married, great married sex life that you so desire and your marriage as well as your spouse so deserves. So that's all I have.
Amen. Good stuff.
So you guys, I hope you can see where we were going. Again, we threw out a couple scriptures that hopefully you can go back and check into and apply. Song of Solomon is always a great scripture, actually great book to just go towards to make sure that you understand. We also have heard several times, you know, your body is not your own when you're married. His body is mine and mine is his. And I think he even referred to that as well. I believe that's in Corinthians. And we can give you the precise verse related to that as well. But the point of the marriage matter is when
you're... 1 Corinthians 7:3.
1 Corinthians 7:3. When you feel that safety and security... Okay, he was concerned about y'all saying horny. Y'all have heard people say to, or watched a movie, or watched on TV, or heard a joke, whose is it? Y'all, it's the same thing. You're concerned about if your spouse, if his body mine, my body is his. When you're feeling those safe areas and you're secure in those areas, there's no question. Nobody's asking that. You just automatically know and want to make sure that he enjoys what's meant for him, and he's going to make sure that you enjoy what's meant for you. So we hope that you've been encouraged, inspired, or had insight in some shape, form, or fashion about how safety can be an aphrodisiac and helping to provide you a great married sex life. It makes me think of our friends, the Smiths, and their book. So actually, I'm just going to do a quick plug for them. And it's Michael and Connie Smith. They actually have a book called Great Married Sex Life, but it's part two to another book. So pick up both of them if you so. Oh, How to Eat a Peach is a good one too. But just pick them up. You know, that's a part of their ministry as well. So check them out. You will enjoy it. You will not regret it. They are definitely encouragers related to this topic as well. So that is all for us at this time.
Also our friends, Amy, Ultimate Intimacy.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Ultimate Intimacy app. Check it out. Y'all, okay, both of these, definitely Ultimate Intimacy app as well. They, just go to it. It's a free app. They cover so many areas you guys. Both of these are faith-based couples, right? Focused on having an awesome, ultimate, great married sex life. And you will not regret it. Trust me, you will not regret it. Go to the website. You can Google Michael and Connie Smith. You can also Google Ultimate Intimacy App. And you will enjoy what you find there. They have conversations. They have suggestions on outfits and all types of things and places and scenes. Well, that's the same thing, but you get what I'm saying, right? You won't regret it. Like, we've thoroughly enjoyed not only the book from the Smiths, but the Ultimate Intimacy app. Yep. Tell them we sent you guys. Okay, so at this time, we are going to end this segment with prayer, and we appreciate you for joining us.
God, we thank you for this time, this moment, opportunity to speak to your people. God, we are appreciative, oh God, for you to just give us the opportunity to talk about sex. Lord, we know sometimes this word sex can be taboo in relationships, and then it hinders the marriage from being all that it can be. God, we pray that the enemy will be defeated in our sex lives as married people. And God, that you will get glory and that we will reap the benefit of your grace in the bedroom and outside of the bedroom as a couple. And God, we just thank you. We pray that you will continue to bless couples that not only will hear this, oh God, but just couples in general that are in need of a blessing. And God, we just give you glory, honor, and praise for all that you're doing, all that you will do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And until next time, be healthy.
Be whole.
Be blessed is our prayer for each of you guys.
As well as a great sex life in your marriage. Thank you for joining us again.